Welcome to the Healthy Hustlers podcast, a series of healthy conversations with inspiring hustlers. I'm your host, Madeline Carafa.
Today's guest is joining us from her farm in beautiful Byron Bay. An award-winning television presenter and meteorologist, she's the author of the Happy and Whole Cookbook and mother to two beautiful boys. Magdalena Rose is an avid foodie, creating recipes that celebrate traditional whole foods while incorporating her love and fascination for the weather. Magdalena's dishes are designed to suit the seasons. Now living the true wholesome Byron Bay lifestyle, Magdalena swapped her busy Sydney life several years ago when her and her husband Darren decided to make the sea change to open a restaurant on a farm. I'm not talking about any farm. I'm talking about the farm, home to the three blue ducks in Byron Bay. Magdalena's work has been hugely inspirational for me for quite some time. I'm in awe of the beautiful and nourishing life she has created for herself and her family. There isn't much you couldn't love about Mags. She's warm, kind, and fully embodies what it means to be happy and wholesome.
Before we get started with today's episode, I did just want to let you guys know that due to the current restrictions that have been enforced due to COVID-19, I'm no longer able to record interviews in person. And if you have been following the Healthy Hustlers for quite some time, you will know that all the interviews are usually conducted in person, but the health and safety of my guests is number one priority. So therefore, they have been recorded online, so the sound quality may vary from other recordings, but I appreciate your understanding during this time. This episode of The Healthy Hustlers is proudly brought to you by Table of Plenty's new probiotic kefir, pourable yogurt, and delicious range of functional mueslis. Welcome back to The Healthy Hustlers podcast. I'm super excited to be chatting to you today. How are you?
Yes, I'm really good. Thank you so much for having me. It's so nice to connect with you finally. I know we've been trying to do this for a while. And isn't it strange that we're doing it in these weird coronavirus times?
Oh, but, no. Hey,
here we are.
We're here. And we have been trying to do this one for a while. I'm a huge fan of everything that you were about. So I'm really excited to have you on the show. And I know we were meant to do this in person in beautiful Byron Bay, but yeah, given the current situations, we haven't been able to do that, but we're making the most of it. So I'm super excited to chat. But yeah, I'd love to get a little bit of an insight into how you're going at the moment. You've had some huge amount of change, you know, with your businesses and everything during the current situation. So how are you coping?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. At the moment, we're actually pretty good, but you know, it's been a bit of a journey. I think like a lot of people, we've gone through so many emotions dealing with all the changes and everything that's been happening. And I think that there's a lot of anxiety around it simply because there are a lot of unknowns. And initially, when we weren't sure about what we're supposed to do with the businesses, we're asking ourselves a lot of questions around, you know, keeping the community safe and keeping staff safe and all of that kind of thing. And it was a really sort of difficult and stressful time. And I kind of felt like for a while there, I was in mourning. You know, I was sort of walking around really fragile and like, you know, if somebody just looked me in the eye or asked me how I was, I honestly felt like, and I did a couple of times, burst into tears. Aww. Just because, I don't know, I found it really difficult. But I think this sense of closure and surrendering to what's happening has been really helpful. And just sort of counting our blessings, you know, we there are definitely massive losses in business, but there are huge gains in our home life. Just having my partner Darren around a lot more. Even things like finally, he's done the garden landscaping, like which is a bit for like 4 years in the making, you know, and just seeing him sort of cook on the barbecue, cook for pleasure and cook with the kids. And, you know, those things are priceless. And I'm just really, really grateful that we have our health, that we're in a place, you know, like Byron. And actually, this is weird timing as well, but and quite unfortunate. While all the restaurants were closing, our littlest son, Charlie, he's almost two, he fell off a ladder and broke his leg. And,
oh my goodness.
I know. And it was so stressful because when it happened, he was really, really crying. And like, I think every parent knows when the cry is more than the normal cry. So I knew that something wasn't quite right, but I had this really stressful moment of thinking, oh my goodness, I hope that nothing, like, I didn't know his leg was broken at the time, but I just thought, gosh, I hope there's actually nothing, you know, he hasn't hit his head. Or I had all these terrible scenarios going through my head as I was driving to the hospital. And, you know, when it's that real, you sort of really, really count your blessings and think, if he's okay, if it's just a broken limb, I will never complain about another thing again. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Absolutely.
It was just a massive wake-up call. Like, I just thought, if he's cool, then I'm cool with everything. It doesn't matter if the restaurants are shut. It doesn't matter how much we lose. As long as we're all okay, I'm okay, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a nice way to look at it. And I think through this whole situation, like, perspective is key here, you know, there's always a worse situation or things can be worse. So I think as much as that is so hard when you're in the guts of it and you're living and breathing it every day, it's so beautiful that you're still able to look at other situations and just know that, you know, your health and happiness of your family is the most important thing.
I think a lot of people are on this wavelength at the moment, where it's a terrible, terrible time, and it's very, very tragic on many levels. And I think that, you know, there can be a little bit of fear around what are we coming back to and everything. However, on the plus side, you know, there has been a lot of people talking on social media and whatever, just about how, what an opportunity this is, you know, for it's that reset. It's that reset for the environment. It's that reset in our own lives, in our health. And it's a wake-up call. And the thing is, you know, if we don't make the most of this opportunity to make positive change, then I think it's been a lost opportunity, you know?
100%.
And it's really amazing. Like, it's just really amazing to even see on social media, people's content has kind of shifted. I feel like there's a lot more purpose, that people are really giving and people are so keen to sort of share tips and connect. Like, you know, social media for a while, there was getting a little bit, at least for me anyway, it was getting a little bit, I don't know, I just started to think, oh gosh, this is, it's getting a little bit, I don't know, narcissistic and
absolutely
boring. And, and I've just seen a real shift in that. And I think there's a lot of positivity to come out of it. So I'm happy that that conversation is being had.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's so funny because last night my husband and I were going for a walk along the beach and we ran into my best friend. She was going for a run and so we kind of all kept walking up the beach together, and she's just started running again. And she said, oh, it's so funny, like, now that the only thing that we have to do to exercise is everyone is out walking, and, you know, people that may not have even been for a run or a walk with their families for 5 or 6 years, or it would be the last kind of thing that they would think to do, are out and about. So, like, our beach strip was, you know, packed with people exercising. And I turned to them and I said, yeah, and how amazing if we come out of this and people actually realize how much fresh air and movement and doing an outdoor activity with your family, how much joy and happiness that actually brings. Like, what a beautiful thing to come from this. And I'm like, you know, the thing that people are left with right now is, one, having to be creative about how you stay entertained and amused with the kids. You have to kind of cook and I guess experiment in the kitchen a little bit more, because our health is our priority, and everyone, I think, is quite aware of that now. Being healthy is more important than ever. And the only activities we have to do to go outside is to exercise. So all of a sudden it's making people, these things in life that are so important, it's making people really aware and almost engage in them.
Absolutely. And I think one of the most beautiful things about all of it is that pretty much all of the things that we can do are really simple things. And finding joy and gratitude in the simple things is key, because I think in the health space, it actually started, for me anyway, my perception was that it started to get really overwhelming, and there were so many conflicting messages about what to do and what's the healthiest way to eat and a million different supplements and ways of doing stuff. And I think it actually got quite overwhelming. And this has just brought it back to the simple things, like just going for a run or just being out in the fresh air or just cooking yourself a healthy meal. Like, in the end, that's the most sustainable, I think anyway, that's the most sustainable and best thing you can do for yourself. And most of it is cheap and it doesn't cost money, and it, you know, creates connection between people. And I just think that's a really positive thing. Like, it's bringing us back to what really matters, and it's kind of cutting out the shit, you know what I mean?
Yes. And I think we overcomplicate our life so much, especially, you know, with being so busy and being online all the time and social media and this, I guess this mentality of always wanting more. And I know I'm definitely guilty of it as well, of like, you know, even just with work, it's kind of you achieve one thing and it's like, okay, I need to achieve the next. And it's almost like you just never feel fully accomplished or like you've reach something, whether this time is like for me personally, even making me reflect on the things I have achieved and probably being more grateful for them rather than just going on to the next thing and the next thing. It's really making me pause and think, well, you know, look how far you have come and you can still continue to do that, but let's put a bit more purpose and reason behind why you're doing it all. So I think it is a really nice time to reflect and just figure out why we're doing things as well. Like, is it making us happy? Is it making us the best version of ourselves instead of just always filling up our cup with more and more and more things? I think it's, making us all have to be a little bit more aware. So,
and people have the space, you know, they've got the space to have that conversation with themselves.
Yes.
You know, it's not just like a weekend away and then suddenly you're back into it again. You know, like we have a lot of space to fill.
Yes.
Over the next few
weeks.
Maybe
for a long time.
I know. And that's a kind of, there's a scary element to that as well. But again, it's just about looking at the opportunity that we have from having that much space. It could be, you know, I'm very, very hopeful that good comes out of all of this, you know, on many, many fronts. I'm really, really hopeful.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And I really hope so too. I agree that I think it'll be a missed opportunity if it doesn't. So I guess, though, you know, we have touched on it, that there is a bit of fear and anxiety that does face these times, especially when it's so unknown. And I guess what you were saying with the restaurants earlier, prior to, you know, the government actually telling you what you had to do, there was a lot of unknown and that fear comes from that. What have you been doing during that time to really prioritize your health?
I've always had a little bit of a rhythm around cooking and preparing food. And I actually found a lot of comfort in sharing, you know, and having the space, because so much of the other stuff I was doing was no longer possible, work-wise, I should say. It gave me the space to be able to share a lot more of what I do with other people. And I kind of found comfort in that. So there are a lot of sort of, you know, healthy recipes that I do or immune boosting things that I'm sort of interested in. And in that time of unknown, it's almost like there's comfort in some kind of a structure. There's comfort in some kind of a rhythm. And so I just continued my rhythm of sort of cooking and doing the things that I normally do with the children and whatever. But it was just really nice to sort of include, you know, the broader community in some of that as well.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I remember seeing your post actually, and you were saying how you were trying to think of ways how you can support your community during this time, and it was through cooking. And I loved that so much, because I actually was given your book, Happy and Whole, by my best friend for my birthday. I think it was two years ago now.
That's so nice.
Yeah. And I remember when she gave it to me, it was a really interesting time, because I was navigating a lot of what I wanted, you know, how I was going to continue working and loving what I do. And I really had this kind of like intrinsic belief that there was something more, but I guess I was trying to navigate what that actually was. And my best friend gave me your book, and I remember just looking at the cover and it saying happy and whole. And I was like, that is what I want in life. I just want to feel happy and whole. And Byron Bay is actually a really special place to us. I met my husband there when I was 21 and we got married there 2018. And so, you know, going through your book, and obviously, you know, it's set in Byron Bay and from the seasons, and I just felt so connected and so drawn to it, and yeah, have followed and loved you ever since. And all
that's so
about.
Amazing. That means so much to me. Gosh.
Oh, thank you. No, I really do. And so, you know, that's why I really wanted to get you on the show. And I guess I love that you have been able to really showcase your meals through using the seasons. So can you talk, I'd love to get a little bit of insight into where the inspiration for Happy and Whole came from.
In a former life, before we moved to Byron Bay, I was working in television. I was presenting mainly at Channel 10. So I was doing things like the news and the weather, filling in on the project and all sorts of stuff. And so my meteorology background came into the weather stuff as well. So I've always had a real passion for the environment and the weather. And I guess my approach towards doing the weather was always about connecting it to people's lifestyle. So rather than just giving them, you know, a terminology and numbers and whatever, I always tried to make it sort of mean something to people when I did my weather reports. And then when we moved to Byron Bay, leaving my career behind to sort of support my my partner in opening this restaurant on a farm. Now, this is, might be a bit of a long-winded answer to what you just asked me.
No, I love it. No, I want to know it all.
it kind of left me with a bit of a gap. Like, I didn't have a choice when it came to continuing my career because there was no way I was going to be able to do what I did in television in Byron Bay. So I was sort of forced to stop. And I was happy to do so because it was always his dream. It was like a chef's dream to open a restaurant on a farm. And I was like, this is a no-brainer. I'm more than happy. You know, I was happy to do it. And like, who wouldn't want to move to Byron Bay?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, I would be lying if I didn't admit that after a few months I found myself a little bit lost because my identity, like so many other people's, was based around my job. And I got my self-esteem from being able to do all of that as well. And I'd worked so hard and I thought, it's really nice being here in Byron, but like, did I make the right decision? Because I spent all these years trying to get to where I was and what am I even doing here? And I had this, you know, little while of sort of soul-searching and reflection. And then in the end, I had to force myself to surrender to the moment. And I just sort of, I remember just sort of saying to myself, okay, if you could just do anything you want to do right now, what would it be? And I thought, all I really want to do, because in my life outside of work, I've always been passionate about food and cooking. It's something that I've always done. I thought, you know what? All I really want to do is cook and be creative. So I'm going to use this time to do that. So I started to do that. I started my blog and I kind of drew on a little bit of my meteorology background because I decided to sort of, I had themes. So I had food that you'd want to eat when it's sunny, food that you want to eat when it's humid, food that you want to eat when it's cloudy, when it's rainy. Because I feel like it doesn't matter what time of the year it is. If it's a rainy day, suddenly we all feel like baking or having,
so
like, a spag bowl with a glass of red wine.
Absolutely.
When it's humid, you start craving, you know, fish or sashimi or those sort of Asian tropical flavors and coconuts. And when it's sunny, you might want a really nice salad or you might want to make something and like a dessert that's sort of colorful and fruity. And so I sort of based my recipes around, you know, the kind of food that you want to eat in different types of weather because I feel like whether we realize it or not, it's what we're doing when we make decisions every day. And so I started this blog sharing my recipes. And then shortly after, I was approached by a publisher to turn it into a book, which sort of blew me away. But it took a long time for me to agree to it. I just sort of felt like I wasn't worthy in a way.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. It's funny. And Darren was like, you are crazy. Do it. And I was just like, no, I don't know. I just feel like I'm just not worthy.
Do you know why now? What was creating that feeling?
I think it's a silly feeling we all probably have. On some level, and I always envy the people that appear like they don't. Although I think that most people have a little bit of that on some level, and I think it's healthy to have a little bit of it. But if you have too much of it, you can miss out, and you know. If I didn't have him pushing me to do it, I could have missed out on a really amazing opportunity, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
And so it was a bit of a lesson in backing yourself.
Definitely.
A massive lesson in backing yourself. And so I've kind of learned from that. And now I'm more confident in doing that kind of stuff and having those things. But yeah, I think it's also to do with a career change, you know, that if somebody had asked me to write a book on meteorology, I would have been like, yeah, I've got this. But it was the fact that I diversified and done something completely new to the outside world anyway.
Yes.
That I sort of felt like I had to earn it.
Definitely. I can resonate. I can totally resonate with that feeling of just being almost that question in your head of like, who do I think I am? Like, why do I think I can do this?
I know. And the funny thing is actually, yeah, and I said to Darren, who do I think I am? You're the chef, you know, you've earned the right to write these cookbooks. And he just kept saying to me, that's fine, Mags, but you can cook and your recipes are, you know, great. And you're the one that cooks in our family and you should be like, he goes, you just got to back yourself. And I was like, all right.
Definitely. It's so important, isn't it, to have that person in your life who is your greatest cheerleader and he's always backing you. I think it's definitely a key ingredient to success is having that person.
I totally agree. Whether that's, you know, your best mate or your mum or whatever.
Totally, mum, auntie, yeah, whoever it is. Yeah,
I think that it's really important to be vulnerable and to be able to have somebody where you can completely be yourself, as tragic as that may be sometimes, you know. I think it's really important to have that, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I love what you just said then about being vulnerable. I think being comfortable or vulnerable enough to be comfortable with our weaknesses is a really important thing. And I think, you know, we need to be more aware of that and more comfortable with it to be able to kind of step into that fear and to take risks or to do something that makes you feel that little bit uncomfortable, like writing your book. Yes. I'm sure that felt really uncomfortable at the start. So
yeah, exactly. I totally agree with you. And I think there's just a real beauty in true honesty, you know.
Yes.
Especially in a world that's very filtered, and where even I feel like it's now kind of hard to know. Like there's authenticity that I'm sort of like not sure if the authenticity is authentic. But I just think there's a real beauty in sort of honesty and people just calling it for what it is. And sometimes it can be uncomfortable, but I love it. Like I love nothing more than an honest conversation with my girlfriends, you know. Yes. I think that's one of the most, love it.
It just like fills up your cup so much. I always just walk away like, oh, my soul just feels like it's smiling so much right now.
Yeah,
it's just
exactly.
The best feeling ever.
I know. I love it too.
So you have touched on the fact that you and your beautiful family live in Byron Bay. What does a normal day look like for you guys?
Oh, gosh, I can't even remember.
Is there a normal day? Yeah.
Now, my gosh, it's so different now. But, I mean, in general, like the funny thing is it keeps evolving and changing with my children's ages because when they're little and they're babies and whatever – the kind of work that I was doing was a little bit different. I'd be sneaking in, you know, writing stuff or recipe testing when they're asleep and all that kind of stuff. And then as they get a little bit older, it sort of changes. So it's always changing. But I guess some of the things that have always been a bit of a staple no matter what is that, generally speaking, in the morning we love a bit of a family coffee, whether that's coming to one of the restaurants when they were open, you know, first thing in the morning before everybody comes in, we'd get a coffee and a croissant and sort of hang out. And actually, Darren and I used to have a bit of a ritual of, this is so nerdy, but we used to do the crossword every morning.
Oh, I love that.
We love it. Like, it was just like our little guilty pleasure, like coffee and a crossword.
So nice.
And that's when the kids were young enough to either sleep in the pram or kind of.
Yeah.
We haven't been able to do it for ages now because Archie's 4 and Charlie's almost 2. So now it's one of these things that's like, it's a real treat, you know?
When you get to do that. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. If mum's looking after the kids or something, we're like, crossword. And we'll pull out one that we saved from like 3 months ago, some old wrinkly paper. So we really like doing that in the morning. And I guess throughout the day, it really changes. But it can be, it's a little bit of a juggle where it's sort of like, are we doing something with the children? And there's always an element of preparing a meal and eating with the kids, you know, whether it's like lunch or breakfast or whatever, I sort of involve them in that. And I make sure that at least one of our meals is a, you know, is an eating at home meal. I know that might sound a bit strange, but I make sure that we always have at least one meal at home. And, you know, it can be everything from working on recipes to doing a shoot to doing a podcast, my own or something like this with you, or working on a product or, you know, helping Darren out at the restaurant. So every single day is really varied, but I'm very grateful for that flexibility. I never could have known, because we moved to Byron before we had children, I never could have known how good this is. I'm so grateful that we came here and that we have this flexibility where I get to really sort of marry, you know, work with home life so well. Yes. and even include my kids in my work a little bit, like often the recipes that I'm testing, like they're there for it. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of part of it, because it's like a lot of, you know, my sort of mantra is that, you know, my food has to be foolproof, easy, simple, nourishing. So if I can't make it with my kids like tugging at my leg and getting involved, then I'd rather just not put that recipe up, because I like to think that anyone who's attempting it, that it's going to work, because no one's got the time or money, I feel, to do this stuff twice. Like, if definitely. Dinner's got to go on the table, dinner's got to go on the table, you know?
Absolutely.
So that's how I'm testing my recipes. So if it works, then it means it should work in most people's homes.
We'll be right back after this healthy break. We have all heard that our gut plays a huge role in keeping our bodies and our minds happy and healthy. Well, nourishing your body and getting your daily dose of inner goodness is now even easier with Table of Plenty's new probiotic kefir, pourable yogurt, and delicious range of functional mueslis. Their probiotic kefir is packed with 10 live cultures and more than 90 billion friendly bacteria, 10 times more than regular yogurt, making it a great add to your morning brekkie. Like all things Table of Plenty, the probiotic kefir and prebiotic fiber muesli nourish your body from the inside out. Enjoyed together, they are the perfect combination of pre and probiotics that you need for a happier, healthier gut and a great way to kickstart your day. Look for them today at your local Coles supermarket.
That's one of the most beautiful things about, you know, eating healthy, I think, and eating fresh produce is that it can be so simple and it's almost just having the confidence or knowing how to put it together, following one of your beautiful recipes and being able to cook a really nourishing meal. There's just nothing more fulfilling, I don't think, than being able to do that for your family or for, you know, your housemates or your extended family. There's such a beauty in it. So I love totally that you agree. Share all of those.
Yeah, I totally agree that, you know, simplicity is key and it doesn't have to be a big palaver. And I think that it's the one pot wonders that I love the most because you get them on in the morning if they're a slow cooked one and then it just cooks itself. And so during that crazy time when, you know, the kids are going a bit nuts or the baby needs a feed or whatever, dinner's already there just waiting for you to eat it, you know. Yeah. And then you can pimp it up. Like I always talk about pimping up food, like a really simple stew can feed a baby, it can feed a toddler, and then adults can pimp it up with like creme fraiche and fresh herbs and chili, and you can do all sorts of stuff to make it a little bit more interesting. But I like the idea of a family meal as opposed to like baby food, toddler food, adult food. I think where possible, I try and make it the one thing, otherwise it can just be too much work in the end.
I forgot to mention learning that at the moment. That's what I keep saying to my husband. I'm like, it's got to be food that we eat. Like, it's just got to, you know, even doing our groceries, like we go to our little local organic grocery. I'm like, I'm not, you know, Georgia needs to eat what we're eating. So it's almost like, okay, I'll leave these veggies aside and make them for her and we'll roast them this way or do them, you know, with a bit of seasoning or pimp them up, as you'd say.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, there's such benefits in that as well because no one wants to be doing 14 different meals.
And it just means that you're not, firstly, the nice thing about that is that if you are cooking for yourself, if you can make it something that can be adaptable for a baby and toddler, A, it just means you're making something once. B, it means that they're eating fresh because obviously during that whole puree stage, it's really convenient to freeze and whatever. But the more fresh, the better, you know. And absolutely. So if they're sort of eating what you're eating, then they're getting more of the fresh. And there's that kind of like building of food culture that I think is a really important element of cooking for children and nourishing children. It's that sort of, it's the kind of unspoken stuff like eating all together, them seeing you eat the food that they eat.
Yes.
I think as well, it's an unspoken sort of almost thing like, yep, it must be okay if like mum and dad are eating it, I'm eating it. I just think that those natural things build really strong relationships with food and really positive relationships for food with kids. And it can be easy to forget about that stuff, you know?
Definitely.
When we're in the whole juggle of like just trying to get it all sorted.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, I love exactly what you said then, because I'll even notice on some nights if we are having dinner later or, you know, it just hasn't worked out, and I'll give Georgia her meal because I can see she's getting a little bit tired. And like, she's only 7 months, but still then she'll watch us eat a little bit later when she's ready for, you know, boob and bed. And you can see she's more interested in our meal and us eating than she was in her own. So I'm like, even just from such an early age, like they're so instinctive kids and they can tell, you know, oh, mum and dad are eating now. Like, why aren't I eating? I want to be eating that. And so I think, that's such a beautiful thing to bring up because I think it's really, really important, especially in these younger days. It creates such a beautiful sense of family and coming together. And I think mealtime for me growing up was always, mum always made us sit at the dinner table. So we're never allowed to sit on the couch. It was always, you know, one kid sets a table, the other serves up the dinner, and we all had to sit down as a family and have a conversation. And I remember as a kid just being like, oh, this is such a drag. Like, I just want to watch, you know, TV, and all the other kids at school get to sit on the couch or whatever, you know, there's always, it was always like, this is the worst thing, mum. But now it's something I'm so incredibly grateful for, because food is such a beautiful thing for my family that, you know, to celebrate and come together around a meal. And it just feels like such a natural thing now to sit around a dinner table and have a really good conversation. And I think some of my most favorite and beautiful family memories are from being around the dinner table and having a laugh and, you know, sharing what we've all been up to. So I think instilling that from a really young age is a really beautiful thing.
I completely agree. And I think that in the weird times that we're living in at the moment, it's such a great opportunity to come back to that. And I think a lot of us are craving that, you know, the old ways of doing things. And I mean, whenever I've been asked about my food philosophy or whatever, I don't really have one. I think it's just the way I sort of look at it, it's a little bit more intuitive, like the way that our mothers and grandmothers used to cook, you know, the way that it sort of used to be pre-technology and all of that. And I just think that everything you've said is just, it's so true. But you know what, I think it's also important to sort of set our expectations, because like, you know what it's like having dinner with kids. Oh my God. It can be so hectic.
Food all over the floor and you're like, oh my goodness.
Totally. And like the older they get, the more hectic it gets. And I always like to sort of warn people that it isn't always like bliss in my house, even though like, you know, I'm cooking with the kids and, you know, they really like eating everything. They're just like everybody else where they crack it and sometimes they don't want to eat, you know, at the time, you know, the same time that we do and whatever. But I just feel like on those days, it's even more of an invitation to keep it simple. So when I feel like everyone's going to lose it, I just think, you know what? It's not going to kill anyone if we have scrambled eggs for dinner. Mm-hmm. It's actually, an egg is probably one of the most whole, simple meals in one that you can
absolutely get. It's like my go-to when I know I haven't had a healthy day, or you know, like I've kind of haven't eaten at the right times, or I'm like, oh, you know, I missed lunch or whatever, I'm like, quick, cook some eggs and have a banana, and you are so fine.
exactly and it's just dinner sorted, or even, you know, cheese on toast, like whatever. I think it's the vibe around the meal. Like I would rather there be sort of a more relaxed feeling at a time when things can go a bit pear-shaped. And I think sometimes my kids, especially Archie, like he kind of relishes in the sort of like when things are a little bit like off-piste. Yeah. You know, if I'm like, you know what, Archie, guess what we're doing today? We're having cheese on toast. And he kind of loves it because it's like a bit, I don't know, it just feels like, ooh, you know, it's a bit different today.
That's a real treat. Yeah, I love
you
that.
You know, and it's just funny. Like, so, and it just makes everybody a little bit relaxed. And, you know, I just think, I don't know, we can sort of overcomplicate things a little bit 100%. Sometimes, me included, you know, like it's always like I'm learning this from my own mistakes.
Yes. No, I totally agree with that. I definitely think we can overcomplicate that at things. And I think it comes down to what we eat, the way we exercise, all of that sort of stuff. Like we overcomplicate it and think it needs to be more than it actually is. So I do want to touch on though, I know you are quite passionate about living a sustainable lifestyle and, you know, you are very conscious about the environment, which I really love and I admire. And I'd love to know if you have any kind of tips that you could give to the listeners who are wanting to make some greater changes around their environmental footprint.
One of the easiest things to do, and actually I've started to become more conscious about this moving to Byron, I think, because it's a place where there's a little bit more of that sort of environmental consciousness anyway. But also when I fell pregnant with my first son, like a lot of women, I started to question what I was eating and just a lot of the things that were sort of around me, like, you know, the chemicals that are, you know, cleaning products and stuff like that. And a lot of it just came from simply that I couldn't stand a lot of smells. Like if I smelled a strong bleach or a strong perfume, I actually felt physically ill. I couldn't bear it. And I thought, my gosh, this just smells so wrong. And it's interesting because then you look into this stuff and there's like, you know, 500 different chemicals that can potentially go into just a normal perfume, not to mention the stuff that cleaning products are filled with. And so it started me on this journey of sort of researching a little bit more and questioning a little bit more about what was around me. And I think that when you do that, it naturally takes you on a path of making more, you know, sustainable and ethical decisions. And I think one of the easiest things to do is around food. And I think if you have access to a farmer's market, I just think that is absolute gold. And I love my local farmer's market here, but some of the best farmer's markets I've ever been to are in cities like Adelaide Central Market is every day. It's like the best, it's like the best place ever. I'm obsessed with Adelaide Central Market. And, you know, Carriage Works in Sydney and Lilyfield and Bondi, like there's so many fantastic city markets. And I think if you have access to that, it's so, so worth making that a part of, you know, your weekly or fortnightly rhythm, because you're firstly, like, you know, the money goes straight to that producer. So you're cutting out a lot of, you know, middlemen. And I know that a lot of farmers and whatever do it tough. You're cutting out a crap load of packaging just by taking your own bag and putting that stuff in there. Like every time I see plastic wrapped bananas in a shop, I'm like, oh my God, why is there a banana in Glad Wrap? It's just, it's the
weirdest
covered.
Thing. Absolutely.
It's so weird. It's so weird. And, you know, going to those bulk stores and just being able to buy stuff and putting them in your own jars. I think when you're cooking from scratch, that stuff comes naturally. And I think a lot of, you know, it's not about being perfect, because I'm far from perfect when it comes to being, you know, completely environmentally conscious. I think in our modern lives, it's difficult to do everything perfectly, and that's not the goal. I think the goal is just to do your best within your own circumstances, you know, and baby steps. Because if you try and overhaul, it's kind of like cooking. If you try and overhaul your whole pantry at once, if you try and like make everything, every meal from scratch all at once, if you do yoga and then you're like, right, I'm going to do Bikram yoga every day for 30 days, I think that can be really punishing and really hard to sustain. Whereas if it's just little decisions like someone that doesn't cook at all, I'm going to cook one meal at home, not even cook, just prepare one meal at home every day from scratch. It becomes easier. And when it's easier, it's more enjoyable and therefore it's more sustainable. So I just think it's about sort of getting back to basics and asking questions around the stuff that's in our homes, you know, from food to cleaning products. I think they're some of the biggest changes we can make in our home.
Definitely. I resonated so much with every single thing you said then, because like I always talk about health as a journey, and you know exactly what you said, no one is perfect, and I'm so far from perfect, but it's almost for me about injecting healthy habits one by one and making them a habit and making them, you know, so a part of my life that I almost don't think twice about them.
But exactly.
With the chemicals and stuff, I was the same once when I fell pregnant with my daughter. Maybe it was probably a few months before that, and we'd started talking about, you know, potentially trying to have a baby, and I was very health conscious when it came to my food and what I was eating. But I was like, okay, my next goal is really to detoxify our house and my skin as much as possible, and really focus on what I'm using in our home and on my skin. And at the same time, that coincided with falling pregnant. So it became even more important to me, because I was so aware of whatever was going on my skin or in my body was obviously going to my baby.
Exactly.
And the little apps that you can go to that show you about, you know, the baby growing. And I remember seeing one day I was craving chocolate and I looked at the app and it said like my baby's vocal cords were growing today. And I thought, oh my goodness, as if I'm going to go and put chocolate, like, you know, sugar, that much sugar into my body when my baby's growing its vocal cords today. Like, that's insane to think.
I know. And but see, you wouldn't care about yourself if it was about your vocal cords.
No, yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, give me the chocolate. I need it. And I remember that just being a really big turning point of like, every decision I was making then was about my baby's growth. And so instead I found it, you know, a really healthy recipe or easy way to make chocolate that wasn't full of sugar. And it was kind of this flow and effect. So yeah, I just love what you were saying then, because I don't think it's about changing everything at once. It's about injecting those things one by one and then becoming a habit and becoming so a part of your life, or else it becomes so overwhelming and you feel so consumed by it almost, or it just feels easier to almost fail or fall down. So yeah, I loved
completely. And also like doing it all at once, you know, sort of going into a health food store and like just trying to blitz it all at once, that kind of thing can also be quite expensive and a little bit overwhelming. Whereas if it's done in a sort of like a measured way, in the end, I've found that it's cheaper to do things that, like, it's actually cheaper to do things in a little bit more sustainable and an ethical way, because you end up sort of using like really basic products. Like, for example, for most of my cleaning, I use baking soda and vinegar, which is essential oils, which is super cheap, like so much cheaper than buying like a spray thing at the supermarket.
Absolutely.
Same as food, like making your passata from scratch or making a pesto from scratch. A lot of this stuff is so much cheaper than getting it already made. And most of it, like if you're making it at home, there's no preservatives, there's no additives, there's none of that stuff.
Definitely.
So I just think, yeah, like starting to question that stuff. And I wrote a couple of chapters about that in my book on detoxifying the home, and also about DIY beauty, because when I used to work in television, I had really bad rashes on my skin from just the heavy use of makeup, and I couldn't avoid the makeup because it was part of the job. But I started to question the skin products I was using at home, like cleansers and whatever. And once you go down that rabbit hole, you're like, oh my God,
oh my goodness,
there's nothing like, what can I actually use on my face? But the nice thing is that there are so many, like the industry is really going that way, you know?
Yeah, it is.
But there are
definitely
so many more options now than there were like 5 years ago. So I just think it's becoming a lot easier to be able to make sort of cleaner choices when it comes to that stuff.
Yes, 100%. And it's so true what you said. It is such a rabbit warren, and you just, the deeper you get, I think the more engrossed you get in just making changes and being so passionate about it, because all of a sudden you're like, holy moly, like how did I not know any of this? Like it becomes,
I know, it's so crazy.
Almost this like crazy obsession of just like wanting to keep getting better and better in a way. So Mags, thank you so much. I've absolutely loved chatting to you. Like I've said through the podcast, I just adore everything that you're about, and I highly, highly recommend everyone to grab your book, Happy and Whole. It's a beautiful one that I go to and use all the time in my home. So thank you so much for that and for being such an inspiration.
Oh, thank you. And thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure catching up, and it's just amazing that you guys interview so many people and you spread such inspirational and interesting messages, and you're amazing. I can't believe you've got a 7-month-old and you're doing this. Like,
oh, thank you.
It's
that's
unbelievable.
So kind.
It's unbelievable. Hubby's probably looking after the baby now. Like,
yes.
I've jumped the kids with Darren.
I know,
like,
yeah.
Had to escape the house to be able to do this, because I'm like, if I can hear them crying upstairs or stomping around, I won't be able to concentrate.
I know. It's one of those things, isn't it? I think that balance, it's like, well, I don't know if you ever do balance it. It's a
exactly.
juggle, I say. Like I
yes,
keep saying to my
I
girlfriend,
totally
like
agree.
The juggle's real. But yeah, thank you for being flexible with time, because my husband's still working. He's an electrician, so they're still working at the moment. So it's a real juggle at the moment. I'm like, can you be home by 4, do you think? Or 5, so I can sneak a podcast in. So it's nice that he gets time.
But it's interesting what you said about balance, because I just feel like balance is this sort of unachievable thing in a way, you know?
Definitely.
That and there's no point in sort of aspiring to it. It is a bit of a juggle, and one of my good friends actually had the great analogy of just when everybody, because she's quite successful in business and family life and whatever, and everyone's like, how do you do the juggle? And she's like, I drop a few balls. That's how I do it, you know? And I think that's a really powerful lesson, like in prioritizing and being okay with like stripping back.
Yeah.
So I think that we've sort of been forced to drop a lot of balls.
Well, yeah. We're dropping a lot.
And
no, that is
at this point,
that's such a beautiful way of looking at it. Cause I think, you know, we can so easily try to get caught up in having it all and doing it all. And it's not achievable really. So I know personally, I've definitely stepped back to like, okay, well, if I can find one thing in each day that brings me joy or makes me feel like I've achieved something for my business, even if it's only 30 minutes of work, like while George is sleeping, then that's enough. Like I'm comfortable with that being enough for now.
Exactly.
Because my job as mum is the most important thing. So I think it is it's finding what you're comfortable with letting go of and what you're willing to work harder for almost.
Totally. And knowing that everyone's version of that is so different, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, there are some women that need to do more in the workspace and whatever. And I just feel like everybody's got their own, it's completely about, which is really hard to do, finding your own version of okay, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
And owning it and just not giving a shit about what anybody else is doing.
Yeah, and not looking into anyone else's lane or comparing yourself, just doing you for you. I think, yeah, it's so, so important and so powerful.
Totally. The grass is green where you water it.
Yes, I love that quote so much. Oh, thank you so much. I'm incredibly grateful
for
your time.
And my pleasure.
I will be visiting you as soon as this is over. We're booking it. We were actually, well, as you know, we're meant to be in Byron. So as soon as all of this is over, we're rebooking our flights and I'm coming to visit you at the farm to have
a
coffee.
I can't wait to see you in Byron. That sounds awesome. Thank
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button and leave a 5-star review. For any products mentioned in today's show, please check the show notes below and hit the direct links. If you'd like to suggest a future guest, please follow @TheHealthyHustlers on Instagram and send through a direct message. Until next week, don't forget to invest in you.